and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann, and today you're going to be listening to the Kept Faith's Halfway Party. That's right. Basically, my wife is and child are out of town. They're in Boston. Dallas is in Ireland, and Travis couldn't make it. But I had a little get-together at my house during the Saturday night Cubs versus Padres game, and we basically recorded our feelings about the season halfway through. I had over at Padres Haiku, at Drunk Flannery, and at Miserable Padres Fan, Eric from the 5.5 podcast. Yeah, we recorded from like just after the third inning, the sixth inning, and then right before the end of the game. And man, it was a tough series. The Cubs fans filled Petco Park, and it was very evident of that, even just watching on the game. Eric had gone to the game the night before. I'm recording this on Sunday night. They beat us again. So it was a pretty much of a disaster of a series and a really rough way to end basically the first half. So I think everybody's ready for an all-star break, a few days off. Let's just try to come back and not be what we have been for the last, you know, part of this, I don't know what the last few series. It's been a disaster. So yeah, we kind of just talk about our feelings, and hopefully it's fun to listen to. Also, we have some housekeeping stuff. Our live pod is going to be at the end of August, August 19th at Bay City Brewing. It's going to be called the Kept Faith's Ice Cream Social. We're going to have ice cream based on the last podcast, the last live pod we did with Bernie Wilson. He was talking about soft serve. So we decided, well, we should have a soft serve ice cream social. It's going to be at like 6 o'clock on a Sunday over at Bay City Brewing, August 19th. We're going to have some really cool guests. It's going to be something to watch. It's going to be a major event, I think, for the Padres Twitter Golden Age scene. So be sure to check that out. We're going to have flyers or posters for that coming out soon. So yeah, check it out and follow us at The Kept Faith and keptfaith.com. Check us out on Instagram and check out the stuff the Voice of San Diego is doing. They're killing it. So this is the halfway party. It's just a couple guys being sad, I think. But, you know, it's fun. So enjoy.
Nope.
Dude, the thing is, here's the thing. So, like, half or more than half of our baseball team I play on Sundays listens to our podcast. And because Danny is half of our pod, they all tell me when I'm up there to bat, they're like, gotta fix that launch angle, bro. It's like, that's Danny. I'm like, that's not me. That
you're,
is Danny.
You're a fringe adult league player.
I couldn't give less of a fuck about launch angle. Trust me. But I get the brunt of it all the time.
Do they have other notes for you? Mm-hmm.
No, they do tell me I should prepare and stuff. Oh. Yeah, they tell me that the amount of preparation is directly reflected in listeners. So I take that to heart.
So yeah, well, this is the halfway the Kept Faith halfway party.
Yeah, halfway.
Sure. Yeah, four dudes hanging out in University Heights,
bumping nuts.
Yeah,
on Pride weekend.
Pride weekend.
Yeah.
Eric Hosmer hit a home run earlier.
Yeah, he did.
He's about to hit another one right now.
Yeah, love you, Eric Hosmer.
You it's batting fine. Glove wearing beast.
At least you wear buff.
Yeah,
at
so
least
how
he
do
doesn't
you
have a mustache like the rest of them.
Yeah.
The Wolves are out for him, though, it seems like.
Yeah.
People are getting afraid.
That's what I like to call haters, Nick.
Yeah.
That's why he hit a home run.
Hosmer's
earlier.
Out here shitting like, on the haters. Oh, he chased
Oh,
ball.
What's that, a ground
play.
Ball?
Double play. Out of Hosmer.
Old Hosmer.
That's the guy I know.
Classic Hosmer.
Hit Myers into a double play.
I'm going to call him Hosmer Classic.
Hosmer Classic.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's great.
So, Eric, you were at the game last night.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Dude. I'm telling you, like 85% Cubs fans. It was infuriating.
Yeah.
Infuriating. Like, normally I don't care if we win those games, but we were one strike away from winning. And then Rizzo, of all people, hits a double into left center and we lose the game. Awful. Awful.
He's becoming a real villain for San Diego. I mean, and
we
traded
need one.
Him, too.
We need one.
I know, but
I mean, Matt Kemp.
No, we
Anthony
don't.
Rizzo.
We have lots and lots and lots of villains. Like, I feel like there's a team there's a player on every single team where like, oh, that's the guy Padres fans hate. Like every single team. There's the Dodgers, the Rockies, all the teams in the National League West. Every single team has somebody that's like, oh yeah, the Padres. Oh, that's the guy that Padres hate. And like Rizzo's just that guy for like the Cubs.
For the Cubs.
Everybody's got the black hat.
Fair enough.
Like every single team has the black hat.
He's dirty though. He's dirty.
Yeah, this all goes back to the Hedges.
He's kind of like Chase Utley.
Yeah, but like Chase Utley, Arenado. Again, everybody wears the black hat.
Fair.
Yeah.
In San Diego.
Diamondbacks? Everybody's got on Diamondbacks.
Take your pick.
Granky, right?
Granky.
Oh, that goes back to the Quentin thing.
Dude, he threw a 69 mile an hour pitch today.
That was nice.
Let's go through the National League West. It's Granky.
Sure.
And I think that's about it on them. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of like Goldschmidt as a person. Bumgarner's like the big villain.
Oh, yeah. Bum's a villain for like Danny. For looking crossly at Will Myers that day.
Yeah.
Ever since
Pagan's that's when I fell out of love.
Yeah, no, once Angel Pagan left, like, make up your mind.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say
But he got into it with Derek Norris. And do we really care anymore about what Derek Norris thinks?
No.
Nick and I saw a guy wearing Derek Norris jersey last night.
I saw that too.
Sometimes you buy a jersey and you don't know what's going
to
happen.
That has turned into my favorite pastime, is going to Petco Park and looking at the obscure jerseys. Oh, yeah. I saw a Kuzminoff one yesterday.
We snap them to each other.
This is your life.
Yeah,
it is. I saw Marcus Giles jersey one time at Dodger Stadium. Oh, I was like, that guy is my friend right there. I want to go talk to that
guy.
Was
it Luigi?
I wish.
I ran into Marcus Giles and Brian Giles in the pisser at a Zach Brown Band concert.
Of course you did.
It was cool. Yeah.
What year was that?
Like 3 years ago. Last week, yeah.
So I heard Marcus Giles is like doing like a roofing job in El Cajon or some shit like that now.
Yeah. Marcus. Jeez.
Rough.
Who has a better life right now, Edgar Gonzalez or Marcus Giles?
Edgar Gonzalez.
Probably Edgar Gonzalez.
Isn't he like a manager in Japan or something?
I know he played baseball for the Yomiuri Giants. I don't know if he was
Put it this way. The day after my wedding, I was eating at Nicky Rotten's in El Cajon, which that's a great start to my marriage.
No wonder you're divorced.
So I was sitting there.
He's not divorced.
Marcus Giles and his family, they were all sitting there eating, and he didn't say a word to his entire family. His kids were running around. His wife was trying to talk to him. He just had his head buried in his phone. Just couldn't give less of a crap what was going on.
Right.
So
good
for I'd say Edgar Gonzalez.
Everybody has a Mike Giles family
I learned a lot
story.
That day.
I don't have one.
Was it Marcus Giles or Edgar Gonzalez? You just said both.
No, I'm going to... No, I said that's why I would choose Edgar Gonzalez.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
As the better life, because Marcus Giles couldn't look like he... could care any less.
True.
Yeah.
Who is the person that we hate the most on the Rockies?
Arenado.
Okay.
Has to be Arenado.
That's right, Arenado.
Besides Bud Black?
Hey.
It has to be Arenado.
Come on. He's our ex-stepdad.
Yeah, it has to be Arenado. Yeah. That's baseball.
That's baseball, Nolan.
So we're recording this on Saturday night, and you were there last night. That Hedges is hitting what more now, and that's exciting, but that last play was so demoralizing, where, like, he threw it in the outfield. You were in the stands then. I mean, what was that feeling like?
So at that point, we had creeped up to right behind home plate because we wanted to get behind the dugout to say what's up to Phil Hughes after the game.
Your boy.
Yeah.
My boy.
Everyone's boy.
Noted listener of the 5.5 podcast, Phil Hughes. So
the best athlete on Twitter.
Exactly.
In America.
So we're sitting there.
The best athlete of all time.
Yeah.
We're sitting there, and there's Javi Baez is trying to steal second. The throw goes down way over Oswalle's head, which isn't hard. But then you have Margot booting it out in center, and then you're like, oh, God, he's going to score on this. Yeah. And sure enough, it comes around. And it's, you know, he got three knocks. So what, you know, what
are you
going to do?
We want that. That's all we want.
Yeah. Some
good at bats.
I mean, even Hedges, he's really good defensively, but he's going to mess up a throw here and there. So, you know,
it
is what it is. But I was more happy about the three hits than I was mad about the bad throw in the last inning.
I was there Tuesday when he hit that three-run bomb, dude. I jumped out of my seat.
Did you really jump out of your seat, though?
Yeah, no, I really did, but I thought I was going to die because I was sitting at 300 level, and I was like, I'm going to fall in the field, and I sat back down.
Oh, you're up there in Leisure Friars seats.
Yeah, I was up in Leisure Friars' favorite section.
Wow, his beloved 300 section.
Yeah, I was with my coworkers. They're kind of poor, so we had to just sit up there.
That's where the real fans
are.
Wow. Rays scored 19 runs today? Jesus.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's crazy.
The Rays?
For the Rays, 19-6.
That's impressive.
So we were talking earlier about Luis Perdomo and how he's just kind of hit or miss, and here we are in the top of the fourth now, and Padres are up 2-1. So, I mean, this is a typical...
This is a gem.
He's at 60. Oh, wow.
50.
Oh, that's foul.
A big, long strike right
he
there.
He is at 60 pitches, and he hasn't looked that bad. 60 pitches through four.
Nine
so.
More you got to pull him.
I think we just want him to build his confidence and, you know, have like a quality start.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He's on his way to it, it looks like. It's just, it's been rough every start he goes out there. For him, it's rough for him because every start he goes out there, we have to like, he knows that all the entire organization is just going to nitpick everything he does. And if he gets shelled, it's like, this is a person's career.
You got to remember, this guy came from single A to the majors for like 2.5 years, and then he finally goes down to triple A.
Yeah.
It's
just how many chances does he get?
I think he gets a lot of chances.
He should get a lot more. He should get a lot more.
How many more is he going to get?
Until Kyle Quantrill comes up.
Until
Kyle Quantrill comes up.
Yeah. I'll say right now, I'm not big on Kyle Quantrill.
Ooh.
I'm not.
Okay. Hot take. Hot okay. dude.
I, when I went to
Hold
spring
on, Colin Cowherd.
When I went to spring training, LeBron's the best baseball player.
He would probably be the best baseball player on the Padres right now.
He would be better. I bet he's a better baseball player than Jordan.
He was.
True. Oh,
oh,
true.
Oh no.
For sure.
Knock on the door right
so,
now.
When I went to,
your mentions.
Dude, when I went to spring training, and I know his velocity has increased since then, but Danny and I were walking back there. Quantrill was sitting like 87, and I was like, dude, this is a problem. And Danny's like, no, it's not. It's
is he
not.
Just like working on another
it's spring
pitch?
Training?
I don't know.
Probably. It's weird, yeah.
But
yeah.
That left a bad taste in my mouth. I know it's just spring training, but it left a bad taste in my mouth.
It's like, I see what you're seeing where it's like...
He's a four-starter.
Are the expectations higher than what he's going to end up being? I think that's probably the case.
I think because he was drafted like 7th or 8th, and everyone's like, oh, he should have been the number one if it wasn't for Tommy John.
Oh, gone.
That's
gone.
That's what I get.
Carl, he's like...
Schwarber just put one
so
in
let's
left field.
Schwarber just hit a home run, and
like
we're...
John Kruk Jr.
See, now they're going to cut to Perdomo's face, and he's going to look terrified, and I don't really want to watch that on a Saturday night.
Look at all the Cubs fans celebrating. Yeah. Oh, the Cubs fan just high-fived a Dodger fan. Great.
A sea of Cubs fans, dude.
Yeah. Great job selling tickets, boys.
Dude, there were so many of the you know, fly the W flags
after
the game. So many of them, dude.
Like, what are we supposed to do, though?
Win.
Yeah.
It's almost like Chicago.
Get our
like
own
the
W's.
Largest city in San Diego.
You know what's...
Like
but the funny thing is, like, nobody. That never happened until they won the World Series. Now everyone's a Cubs fan.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that's...
Everyone gets
That's
mad.
That's totally going to happen when San Diego, like when everybody comes up,
no,
when lava
not.
Comes up.
I
We're
feel
always
like,
going to be the worst.
Here's the thing. I feel like as San Diegans, we hate when people call us bandwagon fans, right? But we know, all of us sitting here know, that when the Padres do get good, that stadium's going to be rocking,
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Because
it happened
you remember when it happened.
At the Cube.
Yeah, no, and you remember when it happened the first couple of years in Petco, too.
Yeah, exactly.
But it happened then. And
it's
going to
happen.
Went, it all just went away.
So my wife's from Ohio. She moved here, what, four or five years ago?
What part of Ohio?
Lima, Ohio.
The home of Dallas McLaughlin.
Dallas McLaughlin, killing it in Ireland.
World famous Dallas McLaughlin from there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, Lima. I'm prepared to replace him permanently, if anyone was wondering. But anyway.
Dallas, we're at the top.
Anyway, she's from Ohio.
She's out of the country right now.
He's taking TKF Global, dog.
He's going to come back. He's going to come back with like an accent and shit. Like Madonna has like an English accent now. He's going to come back with like a really strong like Irish bro. Like,
oh,
that was what happened.
So
he's like, oh,
happy.
I really connected
he's gonna be
like,
really,
with my people.
He's going to be really invested in like the IRA.
His accent would match his hat.
That's
anyway,
great.
So my wife's from Ohio. She didn't really understand like the whole Qualcomm concept. So I tried to show her videos on YouTube of like 60,000 fans at Qualcomm going absolutely apeshit, and she's just like, I don't understand. Like Hell's Bells is playing and everyone's going standing up. I'm just like, yeah, it's not like
crazy.
Now when you have 60% Giants fans in the crowd and 80% Cubs fans. It was such a different experience. I wonder if that's because of the location of the stadium, though.
Here's what I think would help is I went up to, now this was years ago, so it's probably not the same way, but I went up to Angel Stadium a few years ago, and they had a version of an Angel shirt and hat that were like $5 to $10 a piece. You'll never find that at Petco.
No.
So
together?
You
buy both and they're like...
Both of them were like $10 to
$20
max.
Oh, okay.
You'll never find that. Like if you want, first of all, pick a color and stick with it. There's the...
tell that to the Angels, right? Because they did that once.
I mean, but they've had some variation of red and white.
Consistent with the red.
Like, Padres, if you're going to go back to brown, stick with that. Anyways, they had affordable gear for their families to wear and to buy at the ballpark so you can show out. You know, you can have the people you can see a sea of red because people can buy the shirts because they're $5 to $10. You'll never see that.
I went up there this year. I didn't see that. I mean, it doesn't mean it's not there. I just didn't see it. But it was like Ohtani Central.
Well, yeah.
And like,
so there's a lot of Asians. Is what you're
tons,
saying.
And they were all like going through the store, like buying up all kinds of Ohtani shit. Like, yeah, it was crazy how many. But there was no. I was at a. It was the Angels and Rays. I was on the Rays dugout. So there was a few Rays fans, like, but turns out some of them were like family of the players because the players were coming out and like giving them hugs and they had jerseys of those players' names on and like. But it was like tons of Angels fans in Anaheim, which I don't get because Anaheim's just as much of a destination city as we are, and we have all the road fans here.
Yeah.
And they have just Angels fans there.
Yeah, true.
Well, you know what I think is interesting is you look at the fan bases, like the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Dodgers and the Cubs, we'll say. They all show out at these other stadiums.
Giants, too.
Giants, to a degree, but I think it's different. With those four are a little bigger, I think.
Yeah.
But those four, those fan bases haven't been asked to build a new stadium in the last 50 years, really. I mean,
true.
I don't know how much public money was used for the new Yankee Stadium. There's probably something more to that. But, like, you know, the Red Sox basically renovated.
Yep.
The Cubs basically renovated. So they're having this relationship with a team
right, where
they're not really being asked to do anything. That didn't happen for us. We were asked to build a new stadium for the team, and we don't get a championship after that or anything close to it.
I think
that matters.
Playoffs, two times in a row, the only time they did that. So
I know, but I'm just saying, like, I think that matters when we're evaluating, like, the Padres fandom and why it's not as intense as other places. It's like, shouldn't we be credited with the fact that we actually did build it?
Yeah. I mean
that makes us a baseball city.
I get what you're saying, but I'm tired of going to a game and having like 40% Brewers fans. That's like, really?
It's never 40% Brewers.
It is.
You look at the strength of the Cubs fans and how into it they are. Even though they lost for 100 years, they weren't in the situation with, like, they weren't part of this, like,
that's a
city
different city, man. Like, Chicago, I lived in Chicago for a while. Chicago's a great sports city.
But if they had been losing,
Chicago's a baseball city too.
If they had been losing and had built a stadium for hundreds of millions of dollars with tax dollars, would they have the same relationship with the team where they're like, it's this kitschy fun thing to go watch a losing baseball team every year? I think they can do that.
It is a very kitschy fun thing to go watch that.
It is, and that's a hyper unique thing. I think it's a unique thing. Now that's just over, but I still think that that's part of it. Like, if the Padres didn't have that, there is a deal with the city that we had, or with the team that we made, that's different than these other teams that are looked at as being these, having these hyper, like, crazy fan bases. They also haven't been asked to do as much.
Now, yeah. I feel like, and I could be in the minority here, but I feel like if it weren't for the whole Charger stuff going on with, like, building the stadium, would anyone notice how much they paid towards a stadium or towards Petco Park? Like, would anyone realize? Like, how much is really coming out of your pockets for that? Like, you live in San Diego County.
Yeah.
Or San Diego City.
Yeah.
You know, is it...
UH Kings.
Like, do you really feel like you...
On the city, too.
Put in a lot? Like, when you walk into...
That's honestly,
like,
the best argument. That would have been the best argument for the Chargers to make, is, like, how hard did
it hurt? That's what I'm saying. Like, I saw someone who broke it down. Like, oh, it's like $0.12, or like $12 a year or something like that.
I think
per
it's
family.
Over, too. Like, it's not... That ended, but...
But, yeah.
I know, but I just think...
I feel like, once someone says, like, oh, you know, we built that for someone, I kind of lose interest. Like, I get, in the grand scheme of things, the millions of dollars that come from taxpayers, when you break it down
you
into, like, person, it's, like, you know, you don't really notice it.
I strike back at, like, when people say, like, this isn't a baseball... When Matt Kemp blogs about it and says, this isn't a real baseball town. Well, it is, actually, because we decided to build a baseball-only stadium.
True.
And,
right. Like, didn't build a football stadium.
The Dodgers haven't built a new stadium since the 60s.
But also, the baseball stadium was built on the momentum of the 98 World Series run.
Right.
Chargers never did that.
That's exactly right.
94,
they had 94, but at that point...
They went to the Super Bowl, but they also went to the playoffs how many times in a row?
San Diego's best stadium podcast.
It always comes back, baby. I don't know. We'll come back after the sixth inning and...
Hopefully with the lead.
Talk about some uniforms.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Oh, man.
What you gonna hear? What you gonna hear? Solid.
at the end of the month. Who do we think? What's going to happen?
I think there's trades. I think there's trades.
Bet on That's usually what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think Brad Hand is the one?
Not since last night.
No, I don't think so, dude. I think Kirby Yates is more likely to be traded than Brad Hand.
Yeah, but a lot of people are saying that Yates doesn't have that much value because he hasn't been doing it as long.
I'm not saying we're going to get a ton for him, but I just...
I think that's some smoke. I think that's some smoke and mirror stuff because I saw that the same thing, too. Like, Kirby Yates just came out of nowhere, and who knows? This guy has no past, rather. But, like, he pitched all last year. He was good last year, right? He was fine last year. People see him this year. It's fine. You don't have to have that much like of a past. I think he's more tradable. Like he's less of a liability. He hasn't had the blown sort of chances that that Hand has had over the last month or so.
Yeah, but
so,
he hasn't been put in those situations.
Well,
so
no,
he hasn't had a chance to have.
Well. He still pitched up to his ability over like the past like month or so, and like Hand has not. In those situations, Hand has failed, and Yates has been fine.
And, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't think we're getting a ton for Yates, but I think he's the most tradable.
He's tradable. Like AJ is probably looking at Hand, being like, this is like the jackpot that I can cash in. But Yates is probably the most movable piece.
Yeah,
like he's like the most like fungible.
I wouldn't be surprised because I feel like Ross is losing value. Like, he's, like, bleeding value. Like, I don't care how he pitched the other day, but, like...
Oh, he pitched
he's a rental, right?
But aren't most general managers... Everybody knows everybody's history, and, like, the fact that he's been this healthy this long is, like... Well, of course he's going to fall apart once we get...
Yeah,
that's what I would be thinking the whole time.
The thing with Ross is he's only been good with Ballsley.
That's true.
He was bad in Oakland. He was good with Ballsley. Then he was bad in Texas.
He got hurt in Texas, though. That's not all him. But if you look at it,
he's only been good with Ballsley. Like, fair or not.
He could have been good in Texas, but he got hurt. I mean, I feel like that's not entirely fair.
Yeah, I mean, fair or not.
I think his MO is that he's constantly getting hurt.
Well, sure.
Which is fair.
When he's here.
And if you look at usually when a guy like that is healthy for up until like this point in the season. They're probably
But he's only had one real injury. Like,
that one when he was here, yeah.
It took them a long time to figure out what it was. But, I mean, once they figured out what it was a quick fix and he was back. But it took him a while to recover because he was in Texas, he was all that thing. It took him a little bit of time, recovery time. But if they would have figured that out like a week after opening day, he would have been back by the end of the season. But they didn't figure it out till the end of the year, so it took him almost a full season to come back.
Sure.
One of the big, obviously the big topics... in the podcast universe and the Twitter sphere has been Will Myers. And I'm not saying we need to go out and get local heroes from the worst team in the history of baseball, but like I don't believe in Will Myers. I think if he can keep this going, they should try to trade him.
Let me ask you this, why don't you believe in Will Myers?
Because I think he spins out
He's too streaky.
He has a lot of months where he's lost.
He might be on like a trade deadline hot streak, like some baseball players.
But if you guys listen to the Ben Woods interview with Fowler, he says Will Myers is untouchable.
I don't think he says untouchable, but he alludes to it.
He said he's going to be here for a while.
They said, is Will Myers untouchable? He said, if the Yankees trainers are starting eight for him, we'll trade him. But other than that, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah. I feel like we're having hot, fun Will.
He's not
Hedges hot, but like,
we're having
a good time right now with Will. I feel like he gets injured. I mean, I don't know, man. He just scares me. And with his salary bumping up next year.
It's not next year. It's a year after.
And
this
next year,
next year, what's next year? $5.5 million.
Okay.
It's not that, but it's not.
For what they're spending on everything, it's like, obviously that shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, so.
I just feel like I would just get, I just don't like it.
Will's like that hot summer fling, right?
Yeah. Cost of living.
Yeah.
You just like hit it a few times.
Yeah,
and
you
like,
have a job down at the pier.
Yeah, and
like,
you go see him after work.
And you French under the pier.
Yeah, totally.
I get what you mean.
Yeah.
But like Labor Day is coming, y'all. Labor Day is coming.
It's coming. You got to take off those white pants and start getting business. Start getting to business.
Got to get your back to school clothes together.
Yeah. I believe in Will Myers, dude. Like I feel like I'll ride the ups and downs with him because baseball players as a whole are streaky, if you think about it. Like,
Hosmer's
sure, guys,
streaky, too.
It's,
yeah.
Sure, more than others. But in baseball, you're going to fail at least 7 out of 10 times. And that's the worst cliche ever. But it's going to happen. You know what I mean? And so I feel like we'll ride the ups and downs of Myers, because if you look at the end of the year, if you look at the overall numbers, like last year, he had 30 homers, 20 stolen bags, and people are bitching about him.
I'm like, how many games did he play this year, though? That's the thing.
Yeah, but he gets hurt all the time.
The last 2 years,
he's more injury prone than Tyson Ross.
But how are you going to say it? Because the last 2 years, he's played at least 150 games. He's played
150. You know how long the season is?
162.
I don't know. It's okay to play 150 in a season.
Yeah,
but over
that's
2 years.
Ask Freddy Galvis how okay that is.
I also don't know. Like, if you play 150 over 2 years, that's not good. You play 150 in 1 year, that's good.
Yeah,
Freddy Galvis is a modern day Cal Ripken. Okay.
No, he is not.
Even if the Padres were trying to trade him, though, like, I don't know how many contenders are actually looking for something like that.
And the fact that
the DH,
like, well, yeah, or whatever. It's like you're probably just looking. Okay, I need to strengthen my bullpen. That's what. They all want to do.
Yeah.
This time.
It's like, or like they need a fifth starter.
Or yeah, maybe they do.
They
somebody
need a
does
spot
need an outfielder.
Rest
I don't know.
Their regular rotation through the end of the year, and then they stick him in the bullpen for the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not going to find many contenders. They're like, what do we need? Oh, Will Myers. That's what we need.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You mean
No one's in the Will Myers market right now unless Tyson Ross comes with him.
For me personally, like, anything that's not bolted down to the ground, I am trading them. Or at least listening. Even with Myers. With Myers, with Hosmer, you gotta at least listen.
I think that's
what the market's
I think
it's
what Ron Feller alluded to in that interview when he said when he was saying if the Yankees give us a starting eight, I think he was kind of like implying like, hey, if we get enough for him, yeah, we'll trade him, but we're not like out there shopping him.
Yeah.
But if someone comes to us and says, hey, we'll give you this and this and this, and it's worth it, then they'll do it. But
sure.
I don't think they're out there shopping him.
Now, I think with the way that the 40-man is set up, and there's a lot of minor leaguers that are going to be exposed to the Rule 5 draft coming later this year.
That's Urias for sure, right? So they have to bring him up.
They're going to have to trade some guys. There's going to be movement somewhere. So I feel like last year we were expecting this big splash at the deadline, and there was kind of nothing. I feel like this year there's going to be a lot of movement. I could be wrong,
DFA,
but I think there's going to be a lot of movement.
Like your boy Phil Hughes.
Nope, never. Never.
How dare you say that, Haiku?
Yeah, how dare you? Never. Shame on you.
Nick,
you're
why'd you invite him over?
He lives in Terra Santa now, too.
There's like a handful of people not named Phil Hughes that they could like DFA.
That's better.
They're going to be fine.
Thank you. Thank
of course.
You.
Phil Hughes is the rabbit foot. On
according
this team right
according
now.
To my Twitter poll, he is the greatest athlete of all time.
So yeah,
you might want to ease up on that one there, okay. I do.
So we think there's going to be a lot of movement.
Fair,
I think so personally. Yeah. But I mean, who's going to listen to some?
But we said that last year too, and there was no
yeah. But again, the 40-man, the way the 40-man set up,
I think somebody's going to get crazy for Brad Hand. I just think that's going
to
happen.
It's got to. Look at Houston's bullpen right now; it's garbage.
So here's what I think is going to happen.
Giles just got sent down.
Yeah, that guy's
after he told fucking AJ Hinch to go fuck himself.
Yeah. World Series manager.
Yeah.
AJ Hinch.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second.
Did you guys see that video when Hinch took the ball from me and goes, fuck you, and he gives him the ball?
Yeah, like, oh, fuck you. Well, if you were like a major league reliever.
Absolutely.
Someone goes, you suck, go to hell. Like,
absolutely.
You're super angry. Like, that's fine. You're all roided up. Like, you're ready to go. Like,
for a lot of these guys, that decision could cost them.
Yeah, no, I mean, you get real upset. Like, you don't hold that much emotion against somebody. Maybe he got sent down because he kind of sucked. They are like at the, you know, his like
he was
last
terrible.
Week outing.
How much did they give up on
that guy,
like,
too?
God. No, I mean, Velasquez, I think it was less about him telling AJ Hinch to fuck off or whatever, and more about just his, like, last
performance.
Yeah, no, it's
oh,
not
I
about
agree.
Him.
I agree, but no, that's just kind of that. Like a shitty way to go out.
No, it's an amazing way to go out.
But
like,
speaking of the Astros, did you guys see that Verlander got kid up and pregnant?
God damn that guy.
Yeah.
Well,
let me bring it back to the Padres here. So
good point.
Here's what I think the Padres are going to do.
Can we just talk about Kate Upton?
It's a combination of a couple things.
We're
and I love
Astros now.
I love Kate Upton.
This is
I love
Astros podcast at this point.
Absolutely love Kate Upton. I've lost many. Never mind. Okay.
Babies.
A lot of socks.
So what a combination of what I said about the 40-man and also the fact that if you think about Yates, if you think about Stammen, if you think about Ross, they don't have a lot of value on their own. I wouldn't be shocked if we package a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
Like, as similar to what the Royals trade last year. Similar to that.
Yeah.
That's what I think is going to happen. If you're listening, Craig Meddy, please record this. Because that's what I think is going to happen.
Bookmark it, Meddy.
That's what I think is going to happen. They're going to package a few of these guys to maybe a contender, maybe a middle-of-the-road team. But
middle of the road.
They're going to package them, and they're going to get a decent return.
But have you heard Ron Fowler on, like, the AC interview and the Ben and Woods interview? He's like, I don't know, man. He's like, pretty content with them not trading people. Like, they said, like, how do you feel about, like, you guys being hard to deal with? And he goes, I don't care if hard to deal with. We value our players more than other people do.
Yeah, they also and value their product with their pricing. I don't care what
it's
Ron
like,
Fowler
if you value
has to
your
say.
Players, but he has so much influence. He said it in all these interviews. I talk to AJ every day, and this is what I think.
True. I wonder if what's every happening day. With Ron Fowler, and I always find this when I hear him talk, it's like, He looks at a major league roster as a bunch of check marks. No. And he's like, well, we have the closer thing figured out. Check. I don't have to worry about that. Oh, Galvis is better than any shortstop we've had since I've been the owner.
Shortstop.
Yeah.
Check.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's how he looks at it. And I think, we'll never know, but I want to know, like, with AJ, is he just constantly just trying to make Ron feel better? And is that affecting, like, decision-making?
If he's smart, he is.
That's the question that I think most Padres fans are having with Ron. It's like, what is his comfort level affecting baseball decisions? What just
launch
happened?
Launch angle. Warning path.
Sorry. It looked really good off.
I got real excited there.
He hit it to the warning path.
We're going to come back. I mean, you know what? I hope if they trade Brad Hand, I hope it's not in the National League because I don't want to see them in the playoffs this year, right?
Fowler's, agreed. I feel like Fowler's got his thing that he needs, right? And I think that this year it was like a shortstop that knows how to use it.
Yeah, if you listen to that Ben and Woods interview, they said, what are your highlights this season? The first thing he said was Freddy Galvis.
Freddy Galvis.
He stops 99% of the balls that comes to the strike.
How much better was Freddy Galvis than Eric Ibar, though?
Better.
But who cares?
Better.
But it's for 1 year.
That's the thing.
We are 15 games under 500. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
I think what
that's what he's
but
looking
that's,
for.
But that's what Fowler, saying. Fowler's leaning on that. And so AJ is like, look, if it costs me an Eniel De Los Santos
to keep my job.
To keep that guy who signs everybody's check happy, then fine. De Los Santos can go.
And that's a
big
problem.
I do not care.
It is a big
problem. No, that's fine because, look, he's a shortstop. I've got Tatis coming up who's, a shortstop. Who gives a shit? I don't care. De Los Santos is this great pitcher who's coming up. Who cares? I've got 15 more of those things
that's
coming up.
Very
what
true,
I need right now is, other players. What I need right now are, people to play, other positions right now. He doesn't need a shortstop.
If you sacrifice one guy to make
your
boss happy,
he doesn't need, a huge rotation thing right now. What he needs is to keep the barking owner out of his ear right now so that he can do his job. And if that costs De Los Santos, then fine. Whatever.
That's Ron Fowler's fault.
Ron Fowler signs the checks, and so that's his prerogative.
That is directly hurting the team. Directly.
It's his team.
And by the way, with you not responding 575, it's kind of throwing me off. So I'd prefer if you're just speaking haikus this whole time.
I was just thinking that, but I didn't want to say it.
But going to what Nick has said, if Fowler is in there, and that's the thing, if I own the team, hell yeah, I'd be like, hey, get this guy out of here. I'd be doing the same thing. But that's a problem. How did Fowler make his money? Did he make his money running a baseball team? No, he didn't.
Soccer's and beer.
He made it with the SD Soccer's and cheap beer. That's how Fowler made money.
Okay, that guy
not,
a lot of money off my side. I went to go see the Soccer's a lot. So
not running a major league ball club. That's why I feel like Fowler, I love Fowler because he really wants to win. But I wish that he would just hands
he
off.
Does.
Let AJ do his job. Let the guys that run the team do their job, not Partello.
Let
the guys that put the team on the field, let them do their job.
If they extend Ibar for a year or sign... No, I'm saying if they just... I'm sure they could have found somebody like that.
Alcides Escobar. He was
a free
agent.
They have Dale Santos.
He
sucks.
Should have
Colma.
I know what you mean. That's what I'm saying. I think I agree with you. It's like, I imagine AJ's in his office trying to be solving shortstop right now is not going to... Outside of maybe helping the confidence of young pitchers,
yeah,
I guess that's probably
what he said in that
interview. Probably Galvis's biggest value. But
So give up. AJ
just wants lottery tickets. He just wants his mini upside guy.
But De Los Santos could have been a lottery ticket.
He also kind of wants to wait out this next year until they're out of the penalty box of the international draft again, and he can just like go in and sign every 14-year-old. How does that work?
Does he get like another?
They can spend one more money. I think he's just like, one more tank year and I can go crazy again. And then there's that third wave of talent that's going to come up.
Well, the thing with that is like...
That's a good point.
He's just like, one more year.
But he's like, hey,
let's just
train.
Do one more year, guys. Yeah. And if that means Galvis to keep my boss quiet, then that means Galvis to keep my boss quiet.
He's like, I've got Lauer, I've got Lucchese, yeah. I've got Quantrill, I've got... all these guys.
Yeah, no.
If I could trade De Los Santos to keep my boss happy, I'm gonna do it. Amazing. And he does it. Like
Phil Hughes is in the ball.
San Diego legend. We're gonna come back with reaction after this. All right, Phil Hughes is battling, I think.
Yeah.
He just gave up a home run to Javi Baez.
He's hanging in there. We like him.
Battling. Javi Baez, the Blake Griffin of
lucky home
Major
run.
League Baseball.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah. It was a lucky shot. I mean, Phil's a great pitcher. He's a competitor.
He's a sweaty man.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the Andy Ashby.
He's a real student of the game.
He's the Andy Ashby of 2018.
That's true.
Eric, I'll leave it to you. I mean, defend your boy.
His honor.
I think he made great pitches. You know, he made great pitches. There was two lucky singles. There's a lucky home run.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, shit
happens.
I'm gonna put blame where blame is due on the catcher.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a bad call by AJ Ellis there.
I feel like Ellis is calling the pitches and he's just doing a shitty
job. He set him up for failure.
Yeah.
He does much better when Austin Hedges is back there.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
I should say.
Don't put Phil with AJ.
I mean, even Rafi Lopez is better than AJ. I mean,
so
future major league manager.
My wife literally just texted me. She's like, lifts are like $35.
Said, it's cool. Pride weekend. Oh, it's like ridiculous.
Did you tell her you're too drunk to drive, so she's got to deal with it?
I'm not drunk. That's the thing. Like, I can go pick her up.
That's the problem, not the thing.
Yeah.
We are. You're not. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So what do we think? The second half, how does this play out? We have the trade
for
deadline.
For the team or for just Padres Twitter?
Our lives.
Okay.
I don't know.
I feel like the more interesting stories are in Padres Twitter.
We have the trade deadline, and then does it just fall off a cliff?
Are we going to call anyone up is what I'm wondering.
Yeah. Urias is coming up.
Do you think that's like September? We're just like, we fall in love with Urias.
But look at the
Urias comes up, I think, maybe before. I think they're like, you know, he's not just a September call-up. Tatis is, I think, because he's still
Tatis is not a September call-up. You don't think so? Because of the 40-man.
Okay, that's fair.
They won't see him because they're going to use those 40-man spots on other people. Tatis,
because of the Rule 5 draft.
Yeah, I feel like by this time next year, Tatis is going to be knocking down the door. He's going to start in AAA, he's going to struggle in AAA, and then he's going to eventually come up.
He's going to figure it out, and then he's going to go.
AAA pitching is such trash.
Dude, he struggled in Fort Wayne. He struggled in San Antonio. He's going to struggle in Fort Wayne. And then he's going to figure it out.
And he figures it out, and he's just like, oh, yeah.
Barry Bloom is going to send a tweet, and he's going to be like, hey, this guy's not that great.
Yeah.
He's going to say, we talk in September, and then he's just going to completely go off.
He's just going to destroy everyone.
Yeah.
We need to, like, remind Barry every 3 months, hey, will you do us a favor and say Tatis Jr. is a bust?
Yes, please.
So that he can be amazing. Thank you.
Yeah.
No, it's gonna be fine. I think Urias probably comes up. Tatis, maybe. I don't know. Maybe he gets a cup of coffee.
Think any pitchers come up? I don't think he does because of the 40-man.
Who are the pitchers that could?
That's what I'm saying. Like, do you
Quantrill
guys think
is the only
Quantrill,
guy?
Quantrill, I guess.
Nope.
Do we
really
want that?
You know, he's the oldest guy because he was done with college. Everyone else was like pretty young.
I would look towards relievers like Wingenter. I feel like he can maybe come up.
Yeah.
I feel like he can maybe come up. I would look more on the relief side than the starting pitching. Unless they trade like Tyson Ross or Clayton Richard. At this point, you might as well just keep Richard, right?
Like Richard. That's not going to happen.
I'm thinking guys who aren't going to be here
long-term.
Richard is
the face of the franchise at this point.
He is the true face of the franchise.
Besides Phil Hughes.
He is the signature. He's the signature Padre.
No, I mean right. Phil Hughes is the greatest athlete of all time. So
yeah.
Let's
just... Yeah,
no. It's like Phil Hughes.
I have a Twitter poll to prove it.
Thorpe.
Yeah.
Like Hughes, Thorpe.
So you think it's like we ran... Like, as far as our lives, like the Padres Twitter, like, golden age crew, like...
Platinum age.
You know, our lives, like... We ramp it up going up until like the trade deadline. August is like a dumpster fire.
We're going to be so let down.
And then in September, we kind of get these like rays of hope. Oh, Urias is like.
I think this trade deadline is going to disappoint all of us.
It's going to drive us insane.
It's going to disappoint us all. Like,
We're not going to survive it.
Look at Phil.
I think they're finally going to make moves.
I don't think they are.
I think they're finally going to make moves at the deadline.
Phil's got his phone in his pocket right now.
And
he's like
moves,
ready to tweet at us.
Oh, the moves are.
He's like tweeting at
me
right
now.
Don't
drop it, Reyes.
He's
there
dropping in my DMs right now with that fly ball. He's like, hey, Aiku, did you see that? That was pretty great, right? And I was like, yeah, no, 575 that guy.
Yeah,
we're heading to the middle of the ninth inning.
Oh boy, it's getting serious. We're gonna lose by a lot.
It's not.
I feel like what I hope. Here's what I hope for the Padres. I hope they trade everyone. I hope they trade Ross.
Oh, man.
I hope they trade Richard. Damn. I hope they trade Hand. I hope they trade Stammen. I hope they trade Yates.
Stammen.
And I hope whatever.
But not Will Myers.
But not Will Myers.
But not Will Myers.
No, because he's going to be a part of the future. Anyone that's not a part of the future, trade him. Gone. Bye. Done.
Thomas.
This is their last hope at a top five or even top three draft pick. This is their last hope. Because next year, they might flirt with 500. They might. When you have these rookies come up and these
everyone
arms
talks
come
about
up.
It's like, oh, it's a week, it's a year early, it's a year early.
That this is the last chance that they have. It sucks to lose. It sucks. But this is the last chance they have to really lose and get that draft pick.
Maybe they should, they should
trade
just, like,
everyone.
Yeah.
Trade everyone and lose.
But what about Ron Fowler's favorite player, Freddie Galvis?
No, don't trade him.
Yeah.
Keep him.
He's not going to stop us from losing.
But he's Ron Fowler's favorite player.
If Freddie Galvis gets like one like amazing like shortstop play a week, like it keeps him happy and it's fine. You can do whatever.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Like it's fine.
Yeah. Well,
it's fine.
Well, we're gonna conclude this episode of the Kept Faith.
Nick, I just want to thank you for letting me replace Dallas permanently. I appreciate it.
It's cool.
You're welcome.
Welcome to West University Heights. It's we're glad to have you.
I'm honored to be here.
It's an honor.
They told the town council told me you had to be back by midnight. So. No, but thanks for coming over, guys. This is our halfway point kind of party, and we might win this game.
They're down 11-4, hey, bro.
Rally caps on. That's all I'm gonna say.
No.
I think Eric and I are going to be on the Gwintelligence podcast later this week.
Marver won't be.
My condolences.
Yeah. So.
R.I.P. guys.
Check it out.
Whoa!
Did
you guys know he had all these knuckle tattoos?
Yeah.
Look at this.
Someday we'll have that.
El Mago's got lots of knuckle tattoos.
We've drank
a
lot tonight.
It's going to be like, wait, Tatis? How am I going to get Tatis across my
Nick's
knuckles?
Like, I'm not even going to put this out. Like,
no, I'm putting it out. We're putting it out.
If he put that...
I mean, it's no worse than Stormcast.
He put that podcast on where I was on talking about Trouble with the Curve. He'll put this thing out.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Wait, you guys started potting, and then you watched it, and then you finished, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
we drank
a dumpster fire.
A lot of whiskey.
It was a lot of scotch.
So just the two of you here watching Trouble with the Curve?
Yeah.
It was a lot of
No.
A lot of rusty nails.
Do you guys want to watch Trouble with the Curve?
Trouble with the Curve. And then, like, the minute, like, it came on, we, like, hit mute. And then we just started talking about basketball. And then, like, an editor, like, all
YouTube
right, let's go
show.
Talk a little bit more about baseball. Like, okay, that was fine.
YouTube show.
Wow.
That would have been a
YouTube
great
show.
YouTube
We're
show.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Where can we find you guys on Twitter? Padres Haiku.
Padres
Haiku. SD fan.
Drunk
Flannery.
Yeah.
I'm at Nicholas_McCann if you want my...
Also, he's at The
you
Kept
want,
Faith.
If you want his, like, hot political takes.
Hot political
if
takes.
If you want the funny stuff, follow him at The Kept Faith.
Yeah. All right. We're going to lose this game.
Yeah.
So, go Padres. There's a guy playing I've never heard of, so go Padres.